All right, welcome to this week's episode of Murphy's Law Podcast, episode number 6. With me this week is a friend of mine. You know, I struggled to come up with a title for you as we were just discussing. I figured the best way to do it is just to say, good friend of mine, Tim Kroll. Some of you may recognize him from being on Fox, doing a little Lego competition that we're going to talk about. But Tim covers a lot of areas that I find very interesting, so he's a perfect guest to have on. Especially after we had our last episode with some of our reviews from social media. So Tim has a lot of insight.
Fun episode.
On a lot of these things that we do talk about, we laugh a lot about, but there is some seriousness behind this. So I figured you'd be a great guest to have on, so thanks for taking the time to come in today.
Oh, appreciate it.
And one of the things that we first kind of wanted to discuss was, you know, really exactly, you know, some trends that we're seeing in social media today and how it relates kind of what we use. And I've coined it a couple times. I don't know if I actually made it up or not, but I just say it's outrage marketing.
Right.
And some people have kind of likened it to, and I guess I agree and sometimes disagree, part of what, you know, Trump had done with social media and some of the things that he was just, you know, kind of had an air of I don't care. Mm-hmm. And again, I don't necessarily agree or disagree, but I found it interesting. And to a degree, that's sort of what we do. We kind of came to a point where it was this. We were going to close. We were going to do whatever we had to do to stay open. A lot of people disagreed with that and felt very, very comfortable letting us know exactly how they felt. And we started to see this interesting turn. And the only thing that we could do is to kind of use it sort of against them, if you will, you know, cancel the kind of cancel culture sort of thing that's out there, if you want to call it that. So we've taken what is a negative and have kind of turned it around and used some of that emotion in our favor. Our social media numbers are off the charts, and a lot of people disagree with how we do it, and that's okay.
Yeah, but I think, too, when you look at that, it's really not about... So I love what you guys do because you're taking something that's a negative and turn it into a positive. But if you actually drill down a little bit further into it, it's actually you're telling stories. Because at the end of the day, that's what social media is all about.
Yeah.
They want you to tell about a story, right? I mean, when Zuckerberg first started this whole thing, that's exactly what they did.
Yeah.
In a college scene, is they were telling stories like, look what I ate, look what I did, look what it was really about, the story of our lives. And so when we're talking about social media, I find it interesting that the way that it comes out or the way that it's portrayed at the very, very core of everything, it's always about a story.
Yeah. And that's ultimately the story that we've been trying to tell, is, you know, exactly where we're coming from. Mm-hmm. We started to have to tell that what we were doing to make it very clear, because people, especially after a very important election, have certain ideas in their head. When you stand for something, you must automatically be labeled this.
Right.
You know,
well, it's the tribal aspect of things.
Very much. Yeah, so.
Very, very tribal. And that's the interesting thing, because there's so much. We're obviously not going to cover everything when it comes to social media in a couple of minutes. But I think the one thing that people miss about social media, especially because, you know, talking directly to a business, is that they're just there to talk about themselves. And they're just there promoting a product. And the reality is nobody really wants to hear about your product. The reality is they want to be one part of a tribe, and then they want to feel the emotion that's coming out of that. And there's really, when you're selling, there's only a few emotions that you can really tap into to make somebody make a decision. But it really comes down to how are you telling the story? And it's the stories that create the connection, the relationship, and then the tribe of being able to get from basically, I don't even know about you to, I would like to do business with you, or I would like to purchase from you. And you have to use those stories. I mean, I don't know where you want to go, because there's a lot of ways that we could do this with social media and telling stories. There's really, I've worked with multiple companies, consulted with them on crafting their story, creating it, because you have to have something that connects mm-hmm. people together.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, any way that you can do it, you know, emotion tied around it,
it has to be
a very,
emotional.
Very powerful thing.
Yeah. And selling, and that's what social media is, you're presenting, is selling. There's only a couple of emotions that are there. The two biggest ones are your fear and security. I mean, those are your two biggest emotions. If you can make somebody afraid, they will act.
Yeah, we've seen a lot of that, haven't we?
Yeah, a lot of that.
Very effectively.
Extremely. I mean, but so it's funny, because I actually used to teach people how to sell things in home. And our job was we had to train somebody to sell something. You had one night to close it, period. High end, high dollar kind of a thing. And you teach them to be able to present things and tap into the emotional parts of things. And fear is like your number one. Are you afraid of losing something? Is there a fear of loss of something? That's number one. Number two is security. Does this make me feel safer?
Yeah.
Those are your one and two. Now there's perceived convenience and there's a couple of other things that you can tap into for emotions. But the main thing is this, is when you're looking at selling your product, especially if it's on social media, you have to tell a story that's going to tap into an emotion. You can't just say, hey, I got a shirt for sale. Hey, I've got barbecue for sale. You've right. got to tap into a story that taps into an emotion, which is what you've done. You've said, we don't have to be afraid. There is security here. So in essence, you're telling the emotional story like these people are afraid. You're telling the story like we can be safe and secure. And people are coming to that because that's what they want to feel. And it's causing a reaction. It's causing action on their part to actually commit to something.
It's a risky move. You know, that was risk it for the briskets, what we started calling exactly. it. And it was risky for several reasons. But in the manner that we're speaking, with regards to tribalism especially as well, you start to alienate a certain crowd, especially when people believe, whether it's true or not, believe that you've taken a political stance. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people thought we were taking a political stance by staying open. It wasn't that by any means. We've tried to kind of disprove some of that, and that ends up just being a futile effort.
But that also goes back to knowing your audience, knowing who your customer is and your avatar. And if you don't know what an avatar is, contact me later. But you have to really, truly build that avatar on social media. You need to know their age demographics, what are their hobbies. And there's a whole system and a way to be able to build that out. And then you talk specifically to your avatar. You did that.
Yeah.
That's exactly what you're doing when you're looking at this stuff. Okay, your avatar is, you're not trying to go after that guy that's criticizing you. You know that guy's never going to do business with you. Fine.
Yep.
He's never going to spend
people
money.
People have a really hard time with that too, by the way. In my business, people have a really hard time when I give up on a customer because they left a bad review, regardless of what they say. You know, I'm a crybaby because I can't take criticism of my barbecue. That's not necessarily the case. The majority of the time now is I'm just not going to waste my time trying to get somebody back in. When it takes...
We forget that.
Yeah.
We forget that because it's like, why would I spend... And when you look at the data, you know that the majority of your customers, the majority of your revenue comes from customers you've already got. That's the easiest, lowest hanging fruit when you're trying to do business. Why would you want to spend tons and tons of dollars, time, energy to try to get somebody who's not your ideal client, who's not your ideal customer to come back into your store?
Anybody in marketing will tell you that it's, depending on exactly what you're marketing, is it at least four times more expensive to acquire new customers than to get returning customers.
But yet our minds, we think we have to be something to everybody, and so therefore we become nothing to everybody.
We have somehow come into this channel with taking this position. Again, you know, I think the election at the time played a lot into it. You know, we were pinned with, you know, some of the nonsense from January 6th even. So there's just so much emotion out there. Somehow we've kind of waded into this. Obviously we talk about freedom a lot. We talk mm-hmm. about the Constitution a lot. You know, it's tongue in cheek that it's called Murphy's Law episode. I don't pretend to know much about the law other than what, you know, my attorney gives me to read, and I try and pilfer through as much as I can mm-hmm. and not sound like an idiot when I'm trying to tell the guy on the other side of the bar, because that's what we always do, is we got to drum it down for the guy on the other side of the bar to understand. And that's the other part that we've been trying to use social media too, is, you know, you get these laws, and constitutional law is not sexy by any means. So we've got this avenue that we are able to explain something that you may not hear on traditional sources of media.
Yeah.
You know, it's our own voice that we're speaking, and you're totally right about that audience. And somehow our audience has kind of self-filtered as well.
Right, right. Well, and that's going to happen. That's part of the tribalism. So, I mean, if we were to actually put points on social media and how to use it, I would say number one is know your audience. Find that avatar. Number two is tell stories. Number three is to make sure that you tap into the emotional aspect of the stories. You can't just tell stories about yourselves. Tell emotional stories that are going to elicit a action out of that. Which is exactly what you've done. You identified your audience, you're telling the stories, and then from the stories, you're actually bringing in the emotion to be able to have an action that comes out of whatever you want them to do.
So you're going to want to go back and skip back about 10 seconds and write down exactly what he said, because that has a ton of value. So we're going to take a quick break. We're here with Tim Kroll, Murphy's Law Podcast. We'll be right back.
The Iron Pig Smokehouse in downtown Gaylord features low and slow barbecue beef brisket, pulled pork, and chicken. Order a delicious burger, pizza, tacos, and more at the Iron Pig Smokehouse. Open for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Dine in, take out. Delivery available at ironpigsmoke.com.
All right, welcome back. Murphy's Law Podcast. With me today is Tim Kroll. So, Tim, the other thing I wanted to bring Tim in to discuss was leadership, business leadership. We got into a few things, and if anybody needs to know that Tim has some credibility when he discusses some of these things, know that he does have a master's in leadership. He's part of a program called Kids Lead, and as well as 3, 4, 5, 6 different certifications. And
whenever you join a coaching group, they always want you to get certified in their program, so you get that certification.
I learned a long time ago from a pretty smart guy, ended up being pretty wealthy. He said, you know, refer to people with fruit on the tree. Mm. So you try and go around and find people that know more. You know, and he also said never be the smartest person in the
room. That's so true. And then the other thing I could add to that is make sure you've seen somebody that's got a lot of hard knocks and gone through a lot of crap.
Yeah.
So experience is a huge teacher.
We were just funny, really quickly, we were just talking about the buying and selling of a golf course, and you always want to be in that situation, you always want to be the fourth or fifth buyer of a golf course.
Oh.
Because all of the kinks have been worked out and gotten itself, you know, figured out along its way. But really what I wanted to talk about in this segment was, you know, leadership and some keys that you might have. For those that are out thinking about starting their own business or becoming an entrepreneur or starting a podcast, I mean, this is a new thing that we're doing here. Leadership is a big thing.
Well, it's a big word, and it encompasses a lot, right? So I think you need to start, when you're talking about leadership, you got to start with the understanding we have literally 6,000 years of people teaching leadership, all the way back to Aristotle, Socrates. So frankly, I'm not going to sit here and teach you anything new about leadership. I'm not going to, you're probably listening and you're not going to be able to, there's nothing new that is like, oh, wow. So for me, when I look at leadership, it's really about the framework and how do we take the pieces, the strategies, the theories to be able to implement that stuff. Because there's this huge gap from what I see in the industries, whether it's starting podcasts or selling businesses or running a business, is you can go out there and you can find a book on virtually any topic under the sun when it comes to leadership. But you lack the actual implementation. How do we actually implement what all those strategies? So what I do is I literally put framework together so we can cross that bridge so you can actually implement all of the strategies and theories. That's the position that I come at. I mean, like I said, there's nothing new. I mean, 6,000 years. There's nothing new that we're going to talk about. So my theories on this is, number one, there's nothing new. Number two is we have to be able to span the gap and be able to actually act on all of the strategies and theories. So how do we do that? Well, we need a framework. And so I have Building Blocks, which is one of the brands that I work with. And in that Building Blocks, there's 5 areas of leadership that you must learn. First, you have to learn how to live. You have to learn how to lead yourself. That's number one. And everybody looks at that and says, well, why? I just need to lead. You can't lead if you don't know how to lead yourself. When I was working with Sunfrog and we built the affiliate program, we made several people very rich, some of them even to the millions. The one point that I noticed on a lot of those affiliates is that after a year of being rich, they would implode. And the way that they imploded was either they got drunk or they got arrested or they did something stupid or their lives would implode. And I've seen this happen over and over and over again when it comes to business owners or even other leaders, is that they don't grow personally along with their business to be able to support the structure and the finances and everything else that's going on in their business. They don't grow personally, so that business implodes.
It's kind of like the rapper that gets famous overnight.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? Same situation. NFL is the same thing. Yeah. They don't know what to do with it because they were never taught properly.
Athletes, you get the same thing. Yeah, because they just don't know how to run their own personal lives. So there's a personal development aspect. And that specifically is in 4 areas. You have to grow socially, physically, mentally, and spiritually. Those are your 4 core pillars. And there's a lot we could talk about that, but time frame is what it is, right? So learn to lead yourself. Learn to lead as a manager. And you manage things. You don't manage people. And that's a big difference because everybody wants to manage people. You have to learn how to manage time, set your goals, priorities. That's what I'm talking about when it comes to management. Then you lead followers. Lead followers is just influence, and there's five powers of influence that we could talk about and we could dig into, but there's basically just five powers. The fourth one is, so we've got lead yourself, lead as manager, lead followers, and then you lead leaders. And this is the coaching aspect where you're actually drawing the greatness out of an individual. Mm-hmm. It's your management staff. I know I'm using the word management, but that's just what we know. It's learning and teaching your management staff how to go through the first three. How are you growing as a person? How are you managing your things? And how are you leading other followers? That's what leading other leaders is all about. It's a coaching aspect. And then the last one is leading as a mentor, which comes out of experience, which is really, really important. And to, before you say, well, as a mentor, you got to be old. No, as a mentor, you've learned how to tie your shoes. And so you teach your kids out of experience how to tie shoes. It's things like that that you've experienced. You're a little bit further along on the path and you teach and lead out of experience.
Yeah. And I see that's, you know, one of the things that we are looking at, you know, is exponential growth right now. And it's tough for anybody that is targeting that sort of thing to be lacking in any of those, which is part of the reason why I wanted to have you on as far as leadership goes and some of those aspects. You can't grow if if you don't have any one of those things. And I think especially that last one with regards to exponential growth, if you're not mentoring or bringing somebody along in that whole process with you, then it's almost all for naught. Because then we're back to, you know, the smartest guy in the room who's got all of the answers and only he knows the secret recipe. And
And I feel like, I mean, I know we are limiting our time here because I talk about this usually an hour, hour and a half kind of conversation. And I'm just like,
this is hard for him to hold back.
So much I want to share. Because as you grow through this and you become a mentor, you realize the deficit that you have in your own personal life, which brings you back to that first building block of personal growth. We never stop growing as an individual. Right. So we keep growing. We keep learning how to be better as far as our social interaction, taking care of our bodies, the physical energy, mentally learning, growing, educating. Unfortunately, the vast majority of the population reside in the first three blocks, the personal, the management, and leading followers. To get into that leading of other leaders, you really start to go into, like I said, the coaching aspect of it, because a coach, really what they do is they draw the greatness out of it. They make you feel uncomfortable because we grow in the uncomfortable spots, not in our comfort zone. Right. We have to step out of that in order to experience that growth. And there's just so much more here because it just is a continual process that we walk through in our daily lives. And the framework, and the reason why I term that as framework is because now we can look back and we say, okay, what about personalities? Learning about your personality, that fits in your personal growth.
Right.
So whether you're a DISC guy or Myers-Briggs or whatever, you can take that one that applies to you, fit that into that one piece, and that's how you grow in your personalities. If you love goal setting, if you it doesn't matter to me which goal setting person you follow, that fits in the management section. That's how you grow in that part of it, right? And then when it comes to followers and leading followers, there's so many different ways to talk about communication and then how do you actually motivate them. And we've got all kinds of information on just that one piece. Building culture, how do you actually build that? Oh, there's just so much. I'll stop. I'm just rolling here. I'm like,
If we were doing a book club, this is probably where we'd have Personality Plus by Florence Lidauer.
That's another one. That's a great one. I love
Fantastic.
That one.
Yeah, we give it to some of our staff here.
That's my favorite.
Very interesting. Things that we learn about them, but mainly the things that they learn about themselves.
Right.
And one of the interesting things about it is, you know, we just came through Christmas season and all of that. I mean, you kind of really understand people's different love languages and some of that. And that's a completely different book that we would be discussing and something
else. I'm actually writing that book for business right now.
Interesting.
So, because obviously that's Smalley's book, The Five Love Languages, which is really built around marriages. And so I partnered up with another individual. We are in process of writing that book, Five Love Languages for Business.
Perfect. Unintended plug. I love it.
I didn't mean to. It just came up.
No, that's perfect.
But then the other thing you said about Lidauer is that she's got three books, which is really cool. And it's the Personality Plus, and then you get to see about your personality tree, and then you get to see how to communicate with the other person. So there's three books there that are phenomenal about personalities.
Yeah, and it starts right at the beginning too. I mean, you've got to start here, and you can't before you can ever even attempt to lead anybody else. Like you said, it's got to be.
It's the personal growth. Yeah. Because if you don't have personal growth, your business will implode at some point in time. I promise you it will happen. And then this is the last thing I'll say on that part of it, because you have to have personal growth. The path to success and the path to a nervous breakdown or a physical breakdown, those two paths are separated by a razor thin line. The activities that you're doing could either lead to that success or they could lead to that nervous breakdown.
That's interesting.
It's that personal growth that keeps that line, keeps you from crossing that line.
I think I could probably relate with that a little bit. Yeah, that's interesting. All right, we're going to take one more quick break. We'll be right back with Tim Kroll.
Meet your friends to watch a big game at the Iron Pig Smokehouse in downtown Gaylord. The Iron Pig has a full bar with 8 draft beers on tap and features signature cocktail flights. The Iron Pig Smokehouse for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Available online at ironpigsmoke.com.
All right, welcome back. Murphy's Law. The D-cast, as we sometimes jokingly call it around here, podcast, vodcast, whatever the hell they're calling it these days. We don't care. We're here to have a good time, talk about some serious stuff, talk
about
some joking.
You're going to learn something here.
We're going to learn. We always learn something, at least if nothing, about something about ourselves.
Yeah,
The last thing, so anybody that has been following Iron Pig for the last year or so, we had an amazing art installation done a few months ago. And Tim and his son, Zach, were on a small show that aired in a few homes around the nation regarding Legos.
Yeah.
And I just kind of, I was witness to the whole thing. I remember you telling me about it beforehand, and I can't tell you anything, but I'm going to be on the show. And
we were so excited about it, too. And it's interesting, that whole conversation of everybody always asks, how did you get on the show? Well, we were actually invited to apply. A short story is the fact that we were asked 2 years ago to apply, and Zach was 17. You can't be 17. You have to be 18 in order to be on the show. Then they called us back, so we went through the whole application process. Each time that we were interviewed, Zach and I were both like, we ain't going to make it. There's too many. 10,000-plus applications. We're not going to make it. We're not going to make it. Small town kind of a thing. We're not going to make it. And then we ended up getting on, and we made it. And so it was just like this whole experience. And the impact that it had, and the reason why, because everybody asked, why did you want to do it? The reason why I wanted to do it was simply to be able to walk with – I'm going to get emotional here. I can feel it coming. Was simply to be able to walk with my child to watch him come from being a child into manhood. And to see him really excel and grow, because he is now senior, graduated, moving into this manhood kind of, and it was just really powerful because we're closing down one season. So I have the pain, I can feel that, but yet excited to see about where his adventure goes, which leads into the store and the other things that we're doing because of what happened with Lego Masters.
I can see it, just the little bit that I know Zach from when he helped out when we did our Freedom Festival last winter, and he came out and helped out a little bit. His confidence, I think, going through that whole experience with you and being on TV and worrying about, you know, he's at that age where, you know, being on TV can be really cool, or all of a sudden it can be a sore source of jealousy amongst his peers. And that's a lot for somebody to take on.
Honestly, we've had to deal with some of that, too.
I bet.
I mean, we really have. And here's the thing, and this is one key element that Mom and I have attempted to teach our kids. We hope it's taken. But the aspect is, you are not defined by the Lego Master experience. You're not defined by society. You are defined by who you have been created to be. And to find that talent, to find that skill set, and to be confident in that no matter what it is. Zach is unlike my other two children. But that's okay.
Right.
He can be different.
Right.
He can craft his story and his narrative around who he is and how God made him, rather than touching into what, whether it's the producers or society is trying to tell him to be. And that's where that confidence comes from, is he has identified his skill set and he's confident in who he is.
And not to be swayed by any of that. I'm sure it's probably easier for you going into that environment and having these adults telling you one thing versus an impressionable young man.
Right.
And the pressures around that. So
we had a lot of conversations.
Kudos for the both of you.
Yeah, we had a lot of conversations. And to be frank, there were times, I have to be careful because I'm under an NDA with them, so I have to be careful what I say here. But there were times when I was extremely angry about a situation, and Zach is like, Dad, just calm down. Just calm down. But I was like really livid. I was ready to let him have it. He's like, Dad, just calm down. I'll take this question. It's okay. I'll take the. And so that was cool to see, because that was that transition of a child turning into a man and being able to lead even me as a dad. And I had to be able to be acceptable of that, whole another set of emotions there. But I had to be willing to say, okay, yeah, you're right. I am emotional here. I need to calm down. All right, Zach, you take it. You got this.
That's impressive. You know, in both directions. I mean, to be able to, give up some of that power, if you will, to your son, and sit there. Well, okay, great. I don't have a lot of kudos. I'm not a parent, but I think a lot of dads could probably learn from that. And
dude, it's hard.
take that moving forward.
Yeah.
But, you know, one of the things that you guys did do for us was you laid out our logo mm-hmm. in Legos downstairs, and it's yep. on the wall, and we did that a few months ago.
Yep.
So we are actually going to be running a competition.
This is cool.
After the episode, this episode airs, we're going to have a competition for anybody to guess how many Lego pieces are in that installation downstairs. And we'll have plenty of pictures and close-ups, and we've got some video of Tim and Zach signing it that night. So it was very cool for us to be able to be a part of your journey. We did the first episode, a couple great. Of the episodes
yep.
here in the restaurant. You guys were gracious enough to come that night
and do a lot of fun. So many people showed up, and we had such a great time just doing an airing at that point.
It's always fun to support people that, you know, do come from a small town. Yeah. You know, we had Lauren Dusky more than a few years ago, who was on The Voice, I think.
Yeah, yep, she was on The Voice, yep.
So it's always fun, too. In fact, she was just in here a week or so ago, maybe over Christmas even. But it's always fun to see local people out there doing their thing and be able to support.
Well, I'm excited for this competition, and we didn't talk about this off-air, so I'm going to share it just live here, right? So whatever you do, we'll make sure, because of our store, we'll pitch in something. So whoever wins the competition, we'll either give them a certificate or something from the store.
Oh, even better, yeah.
So we'll actually add to that. So
let's talk about that really quick with the time that we have left. So you guys now, so where we are at the Iron Pig, right downtown in Gaylord, from our back hall actually connects to your new store.
Right, Alpine Brick Exchange.
Alpine Brick Exchange. So yeah. It's right on the corner, great location, right? You can park underneath the pavilion, come right over, visit the store, have lunch, visit the store.
Whichever way you want to do it. Right.
So what all is in the store? Do you have new sets, used sets?
So the big thing is this. We are not trying to compete with Amazon, Walmart, or Meijer, or even Lego.com. So anything that's brand new that's launching, we're not going to have that.
Right.
Well, our goal is to basically be, unfortunately, like a pawn shop, but a really nice, nice pawn shop, right?
Okay.
Because what we want to do is we want to have used sets that are available that we go through and we certify. There are some collectible things in there that are...
By certify, you mean just make sure enough...
So basically, Zach and I go through each of the pieces and certify that we have physically seen the pieces in there and that we check off, like, all the pieces are there, all the minifigs are there or not there, all of the instructions are there or not there. So it's like a certified kind of a scale thing. So it's a used set that we're making sure is available for kids. Or for somebody else to then re-love. And then we've got some collectible things in there.
I love how you put that, re-love.
Re-love. Yeah, we've got to re-love them. And then we've got the build-your-own minifigure. And then we've got what we consider our bulk pit or the brick pit kind of an area where you can actually just buy, like, buy the bag or buy the pound. And then you get to build your own creations. That's a mock, my own creation. You can just build your own stuff. And we do a couple things, too, with that is we are currently buying brick. And if you've got a set that you want to sell to us.
That was going
to
be my next question. Okay.
We will totally do that because that's the re-love part of it. We have to have people bringing in sets that they put together. And then we do commissions like your job, like what we did is we put together the logo. That's a commission. And we'll even fix your broken set because there's a lot of people that break a set. And
I didn't even think about that.
So we'll fix it. I mean, we'll put it back together because sometimes people just are like, I don't know what to do. So we'll handle that.
So you've got a build event coming up.
Oh, yes. Soon. Yes. Tomorrow, actually. So February 1st, I keep getting messed up. It's Tuesday, February 1st, so by the time this airs, it's already be done. We're also doing one for Alpenfrost, but we are currently looking for other sponsors that are willing to do a build event where we connect parents with kids. That's the goal of this whole store, is to connect parents with their kids, give them something that they can work on together to learn about it, and out of that spawns relationship, spawns that connection so you can actually talk about deep things.
What we have seen... You know, our overall arching theme, you know, it's kind of about marketing. And what we have seen in our industry in hospitality is the experiential
100%
things are what are grabbing people's 100%. Attention. And I know your events mainly, are very well attended and are a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Put the phones down, get off Netflix. Do something. Come enjoy your kids or come enjoy your spouse because it's not
together.
Just kids.
Together. You got to do it together.
Right, exactly. Build those bonds and those things. So, Tim, thank you so much for taking a little bit of your time today. We could have been here for probably 4 or 5 hours. So, thank you for condensing some of this stuff down for us. We'll definitely have you back on again to broaden some of these topics out. The storytelling part is something we could talk about for forever.
Yeah.
So thank you for taking the time. I appreciate it. Coming Absolutely on Murphy's Law yep. podcast. Keep an eye out. Come visit the store. Come visit Iron Pig. Thanks for tuning in.